In the epistle today, St. Paul tells us, "Put ye on as the elect of God, mercy, benignity, patience, but above all these things, have charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Now, where are we with the Mass? With all these double days of observance, Epiphany weekend is the third in a row. It's easy to get confused. The Novus Ordo figured people couldn't do two Masses in a row for anything more than for Christmas, but you've all been keeping up really rather well. Last Monday on New Year's, having talked about the collect with Father Cicada the day before, we went to the secret room, the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in symbol, where God's Son was vested with our humanity. That's what the sacristy behind the altar stands for, where the priest is clothed with seven vestments for the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost which came upon our Lord at the moment of his incarnation. Now, you may have missed the Holy Day Mass, some people always do, but you're in luck, because I'm thinking everything in today's epistle is a sort of a summary of what we saw in the sacristy, that secret set-apart place, and also what, on a good day, you should be able to see in your home with the Catholic family. Let me read to you the epistle in Monsignor Knox's translation, which lends itself to this interpretation. "Brethren, you are God's chosen people, holy and well-beloved. The livery you wear must be tender compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. You must bear with one another's faults and be generous to each other where somebody has given grounds for complaint. The Lord's generosity must be the model of yours. And to crown all this, charity. That is the bond which makes us perfect. So may the peace of Christ, the very condition of your calling as members of a single body, reign in your hearts. Learn, too, to be grateful. May all the wealth of Christ's inspiration have its shrine among you. Now you will have instruction and advice for one another, full of wisdom. There will be psalms and hymns and spiritual music as you sing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Whatever you are about, in word and action alike, invoke always the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, offering your thanks to God the Father through Christ Jesus Christ, our Lord." Just before this passage, St. Paul was writing in his epistle to the Colossians about taking off, putting off the old man. That struck me because that's the first prayer the bishop says when he makes his preparation for vesting. And we all have to work on it, bishops or not, to put on the new man, I mean, for Holy Mass. It's kind of a uniform, if you will. This is the Father's workshop. That's the sense of what you heard our Lord tell his parents in the gospel. I have to be about my Father's business with the temple. That's where that business was carried out. Humility and kindness and gentleness and patience. These are our tools of the trade. We're always needing a visit to that kind of a sacristy, you see, to maintain the sanctity of family life. You know that pretty much you are the priest's family. And the priest, wearing his seven vestments, the Holy Ghost gifts, is wearing his work uniform, the symbol, the symbol of putting on Christ. St. Paul today is especially concerned that when you come to church, to Mass, and when you go back home again, the Christian family, you only see Jesus. Like the chosen three on Mount Tabor, they saw no one but only Jesus. The priest in the true Mass, I think, represents that very well. He wears not his own garments, but Christ's vestments. And his hands, his posture, his voice, where he moves and how, even his eyes are all regulated by the rules of the Mass called the rubrics. And the point is this. It's not Father so-and-so anymore. No, you must downplay the personality to let Christ shine through. The uniform we all wear then as Christ's servants is, St. Paul insists, a habit of mutual consideration. Remember how before Christmas we saw that the last vestment, the chasuble, represents charity. It covers everything else, and charity covers a multitude of sins. Well, today, St. Paul is thinking that charity is the cincture of the Mass vestments. The cincture is that rope that Father wears, doubled over to hold the rest of the vestments in place, like a belt that holds up the trousers. And that's kindliness in all of these different aspects, the bond of perfection. The last part of the epistle describes, in effect, what happens when we come to Mass together on Sunday. There's Thanksgiving. That's what the Holy Eucharist means. St. Paul talks about it twice. Don't forget gratitude. Then, you know how in our church there are all of these different shrines? Well, St. Paul is saying that the Mass itself is a shrine to all of the inspiration Christ gives us. How? Whether there are prayers that you may follow in your missal, the proper of the Mass, those are snippets of the Psalms. And then there are the hymns, the Gloria, for example, or the Sanctus. And then there's spiritual music or canticles in your heart. That means your own personal and silent prayer, which sometimes at least has got to soar like a beautiful choir. St. Cecilia sang in her heart to the Lord. That's why she's the patroness of sacred music. And then St. Paul says, and always invoke the holy name of Jesus, and we always bow our head when we hear that. Then all of that being settled into place, now we're ready for Mass. Picking up where we left off, we can leave the sacristy. The way the priest travels that very short distance from the sacristy to the altar is a combination of the practical, symbolic, and the prayerful. In a sense, it symbolizes your daily life as a member of your own family, the sensible daily duties you must perform. So let's look at what happens. Father, next, as he's everything's set, he's vested, then he takes his hat, the beretta, and he puts that on. The beretta, they say, stands for either the crown of thorns or the crown of perfection, St. Paul says. It's a mark of dignity and authority, and that sometimes is a heavy responsibility. Then he takes the chalice in his left hand and keeps his right hand on the burse to hold it all together, because sometimes the little plate, the paten, can slide on the surface of the purificator, and he has to hold everything firmly, just as you must in a family, to keep it together so it doesn't fall apart. The chalice veil has to cover the chalice so it be not seen. And then, when he's ready, then he bows his head to the crucifix, a sign of reverence and submission. And at that point, the server may say, procedamus, which means literally, let us proceed. The MC is meant to say it, but altar boys love saying the procedamus, and sometimes everybody says it at the same time. I knew a bishop once who said it himself. He said it in English always, and he would say, okay, let's go. Well, it's better to say it in Latin because it sounds a little bit more sort of respectful. The server at the door pauses by custom. He takes some holy water and he turns and he bows to the celebrant of the Mass and he offers it to him, and the priest touches the wet finger of the server and he makes a sign of the cross at the very moment when you're symbolizing Jesus Christ coming into the world. And he steps over the threshold to the sanctuary. With the sign of the cross, now doubled in its power, holy water, the sacramental for the forgiveness of sins, the precious blood, and the sacraments and sacramentals. The priest makes the sign of the cross for his own protection against Satan. Don't think that because you're in church and Mass is going on, you're home free. This is where the devil is most active of all. Make a plea then for heavenly help and you'll receive it. Every sign of the cross, furthermore, declares what the priest is up to at Mass, the sacrifice of Calvary and nothing less. Next, the server rings the bell. Usually they like to give it a good ding so you know, okay, now we're starting. And he comes out. He comes out with his eyes downcast. He's not allowed to look at you during the Mass. He has to be recollected. At the foot of the altar, if there's a bishop there, the priest will turn covered and bow to him. Otherwise, straight away, he gives away his beretta, and the server takes it and he kisses the priest's hand, and then he kisses the beretta. There are lots of kisses in our Masses, aren't there? Why? The kiss is a sign of reverence and of respect. Think of that. What does that mean in a family context, in the context of company keeping? What lesson does that have for us, for daily life? It should stop you in your tracks and just make you think for a moment, respect. Well, then Father bows low to the altar, but if the Blessed Sacrament is there, he genuflects, and then he goes up to the altar, and at that point, the server will help the priest by lifting up the alb. That's a French custom, and it's just courtesy. And there are a lot of things in life, family life too, that are just courtesy, but they're very important. Then he sets down the chalice, he unfolds, he does his work, he unfolds the corporal, and he puts the chalice so that it's still veiled and it's not seen. That goes back to the time when the first part of the Mass, Mass of the Catechumens, anybody could come in and everything was mostly covered over and veiled, because they really had no business knowing too much about our business in church. Then when the Mass of the Faithful started, when only Catholics could be there, then the priest would take the veil off the chalice. You had the right or the privilege to see these holy things. Then Father goes over at a low Mass and he opens the book. That stands for Our Lord, the Lamb who was slain, who alone has the right to open the book and to loosen the seals. Then the priest goes to the middle and he bows again with his head in his shoulders, another act of respect. Then he descends and he's ready to start his Mass. That's the first thing he does. He makes the sign of the cross. Why so many signs of the cross? Well, that's what the Mass is. But it goes back to the 12 apostles on Ascension Thursday. St. Basil says this, our Lord made the first sign of the cross, blessing them as he was ascended in, as he ascended into heaven. The sign of the cross, you should make it frequently throughout your day. It's not just something for church. Your life should be filled with the sign of the cross, as it will surely be filled with crosses, but it is the symbolic expression of the chief mysteries of your faith and also your desire to follow Christ crucified. This is how St. Francis de Sales explains it, and there's a lot here. First, we raise our hand to the forehead in the name of the Father. The Father comes first, a family thought. God is not one, but three divine persons, the Trinity. The family, God, is a family. But the Father is first. The Father, from whom the Son is begotten, the Father, from whom the Holy Ghost proceeds. So he says, in the name of the Father, and then the hand goes down, and of the Son, down towards the sacristy, where the Father sends his Son to the womb of the Virgin Mary. Then the hand goes up again to the left, and then the right shoulder, and he says, and of the Holy Ghost, signifying the Holy Ghost proceeds from both Father and Son, and that he is the love that unites them both together in this family. And through him, we partake in the fruits of the Passion, the cross, the Mass. So the sign of the cross is the declaration of these three great truths we believe: Blessed Trinity, Passion of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, by which we pass from the left side, that's where the goats are, to the lambs on the right, from the side of curse to the side of the blessing. The sign of the cross is a short and a perfect sort of a last-minute preparation for the priest at Mass, but it's a summary of our faith, too. And it is the declaration that by the power of the Trinity, in the name of the Trinity, Father now goes to offer the sacrifice to promote their honor and glory, that he will now make the crucifixion present. The priest, this is interesting, the priest answers himself when he starts. Usually the server will answer amen at the end, but when he makes the first sign of the cross, he says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen, to confirm and to express all of the holy desires, the intentions and the prayers that he has in his heart. It's a little bit like daily life. That is to say, you don't always say what's in your heart, but you prove it always by the way you live and you carry out your daily life. It's the custom now to say, I love you, quite a bit. Personally, I wasn't raised that way. You may not have been either. It's all right to do that, I'm quite sure, but what matters is that you prove your love by the way in which you live, what you say, what you do, your silence, your work, and all of the rest. So it's up to you then to say your amen, because you know what's going on at the inside. And there we are, doing the work of God the Father in his temple. The sanctuary is God's workplace. We are ready to begin the Mass. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.